You are listening to the Corrections Connection News Network, CCNN, your weekly news source for the corrections and criminal justice industry.
Welcome to today's live talk. I'm your host, Michelle Gasseau. Today we will be speaking with Glenn Martin, co-director of the Legal Action Center's National Hire Network Initiative, about barriers to offender employment in the community. The National Hire Network is a national clearinghouse for information and an advocate for policy change on issues related to the employment of people with criminal records. As co-director, Martin is responsible for developing Hire's capacity to foster and promote employer and labor support for the labor market participation of qualified people with criminal records, including directing Hire's project to develop materials for employee assistance programs to increase the job retention of employees with criminal records. In addition, Mr. Martin recently served as the program manager on a national employment discrimination project. Previously, he worked as the senior legal assistant for the Legal Action Center for a number of years. And prior to joining the Legal Action Center, he spent 3 years as the assistant program coordinator at Consortium College in Buffalo, one of the only surviving male prison college programs in New York State. He is also involved in a number of other efforts related to prison, parole, and criminal record issues, including efforts to reinstate Pell Grants for people who are currently incarcerated, and testifying at hearings in New York State and New York City related to post-release supervision and reentry. Today, he will discuss the National Hire Network's efforts and barriers to employment for ex-offenders. So welcome to today's live talk.
Hi, thanks for having us on. We always appreciate the opportunity to discuss our work.
Great. Well, we're very happy to have you and here to talk about the issue today. I was hoping you could maybe start by talking a little bit about what the National Hire Network is and its mission and some of the issues that offenders face in finding employment.
Sure. The Hire Network has been in existence for about 4 years now, and it came about as an extension of the work of our parent organization, the Legal Action Center. The Legal Action Center is the only nonprofit law and policy organization in the United States whose mission is to fight discrimination against and protect the privacy of people with histories of addiction, HIV/AIDS, or criminal records, and to advocate for sound policies in these areas. So the network's national criminal justice employment focus became a natural extension of LAC's New York criminal justice work. Hire plays key roles in state and federal policy initiatives that affect people with criminal records. We also help state and local policymakers make informed workforce and criminal justice decisions. Our Washington, D.C. staff ensure that job seekers who have criminal records are considered in discussions of federal legislation. Hire understands that businesses seek to attract and retain a skilled workforce, keep costs down, and improve productivity. We also acknowledge that although a job applicant may be highly qualified, an arrest or conviction record may make that applicant appear to be a liability rather than an asset. So we address these concerns by helping employees identify qualified workers, secure liability protection, evaluate commercial and state-produced background checks, and assess compliance with relevant state and federal laws that govern the hiring of people with criminal records, and make fair and appropriate employment decisions. We also maintain what has become the primary clearinghouse for legal and practical information, research, and other literature on criminal justice and employment-related policies and practices. Hire works to help researchers and practitioners measure the impact of employment and criminal justice programs and make effective use of research results. We've worked closely with Princeton University on discrimination research related to criminal records. We've done a survey of what type of ID Department of Corrections around the country issue to men and women leaving the system, and if that ID helps the person to get official state ID. We've also conducted labor forecasting, which is helpful for workforce development initiatives around the country. And more recently, we've developed a youth reentry Know Your Rights campaign, which provides education, technical assistance, and advocacy directed at juveniles, criminal defense attorneys, and workforce development providers to address unique employment barriers faced by young people who have criminal justice involvement.
Now, you had mentioned some of the different initiatives, sort of gave us a list of some of the different initiatives. I was wondering if you could talk a little bit more specifically about some of those programs or efforts that you're involved in at, like, maybe the state and the local level as well as the national level.
So. Sure, sure. Some of the initiatives we've been involved in, well, on the federal level, include the Federal Bureau of Prisons National Offender Workforce Development Partnership, where HIRE has been instrumental in helping the Bureau craft its system-wide reentry initiative. We've worked with the Bureau to create a hard copy manual of employment-related reentry resources around the country based on our online clearinghouse model. And we've also worked with the United States Department of Labor to create a new publication entitled Working Ahead, A Guide for Connecting Youth Offenders with Employment Opportunities. On the state level, we've worked closely with the Sentencing Commission in Ohio to provide model legislation and briefing papers to create certificates of rehabilitation, which are certificates to remove occupational and licensing restrictions for people with criminal records. We've provided TA to local advocates in Illinois to help implement new state legislation to create certificates of rehabilitation there also. In Michigan, we've helped to craft model legislation that would have ensured that people transitioning out of prison were issued Department of Correction identification, which could be exchanged for state ID. In Maryland, we're currently working with two local advocates to promote anti-discrimination, employment standards, related legislation, and some expungement legislation. And we continue to work with a number of states on initiatives, including issues surrounding certificates of rehabilitation, sealing, expungement, Department of Correction reentry initiatives, and a host of other collaborative efforts to address reentry. On the local level here in New York, because of our 30-year history of criminal justice work, we're continually relied upon as the experts on employment of people with criminal records. One local initiative where we've been fortunate enough to be called upon for TA is the Comprehensive Discharge Planning Collaboration established by the Office of the Commissioner of the New York City Department of Corrections in collaboration with a number of direct service providers who successfully placed thousands of people with criminal records in jobs over the years. Our extensive knowledge of existing barriers to employment and recommendations of best practices make HIRE a valuable partner in these sort of multi-stakeholder reentry initiatives.
That's great. Now, just as sort of an added question there for you, but now, did the states, would different states just kind of contact you for technical assistance, or is this, you know, is the HIRE network, you know, available to states in that way, or how do they connect with HIRE?
Well, we try to be as responsive as we can, considering resources when states reach out to us. So if we, what we do is, you know, usually advocates within the state will reach out to us, and we'll do a preliminary assessment of, you know, our chances of success in the state, does the advocates have the right things in place. And sometimes the TA can range from just one phone call, mm-hmm. you know, identifying other people in the states and helping them to form collaborations, to actually going to the state and working with them for months on end to try to get some legislation passed.
Okay, I see. A note to our audience, if you're just joining us, we're talking to Glenn Martin of the National HIRE Network about barriers for ex-offenders seeking employment. I was also hoping we could discuss a little further some of the legislative issues that the National HIRE Work has been involved with that might help ex-offenders in getting jobs after release.
Sure. So while the HIRE Network does not engage in direct lobbying efforts, we mm-hmm. continually work in coalition with national and state advocates to educate policymakers on legislative options to increase the employment opportunities of people with criminal records and simultaneously enhance public safety. On the federal level, we continue to weigh in on Workforce Investment Act and TANF reauthorization. Under WIA, we've offered language that would ensure that people with criminal records are recognized as quote-unquote hard-to-serve populations. With TANF, we've offered recommendations on lifting the ban on benefits for individuals with drug felony convictions mm-hmm. and worked on getting drug treatment to count as a work activity. We continue to monitor the upcoming reauthorization of the Higher Education Act and work to repeal the financial aid ban for people with drug convictions. Also, we're working with a coalition of over 50 organizations and have been the primary source for recommendations related to employment of people with criminal records for the pending Second Chance Act of 2005. In addition, we're currently scrutinizing practices by commercial background check companies that may actually violate the Federal Fair Credit Reporting Act. And we're scheduled to make official recommendations to the United States Attorney General's office in an attempt to curb potentially illegal practices. On the state level, we've worked successfully to help pass certificate of rehabilitation legislation in Illinois and Delaware. Our staff was involved in the creation of LEC's 50-state report card, which lists barriers to reentry for people with criminal records in a number of areas. States were ranked according to the number of barriers they have in place in areas such as voting, employment, housing, benefits, etc. what we found is, as a result of the study, states that are seriously interested in public safety and reentry have seen the introduction of bills that respond to some of the more unreasonable barriers to reentry listed in the report. Most of the legislative efforts we pursued involve sealing certificates, expungement, and removing barriers to occupational licensure.
Seems like there are still quite a number of barriers out there that ex-offenders are facing.
Sure. There are a lot of barriers in the areas of employment, of course.
Yeah.
A lot of times they'll be written right into the state regulations. Mm-hmm. For instance, in New York, Department of Health recently passed regulations barring a huge number of people with conviction records from working in that industry. And this is a traditional industry where our constituency would be able to find jobs.
Right.
You know, these are low-wage, low-paying jobs, mm-hmm. low-skilled jobs, and they're able to get in on the ground level. And unfortunately, these new regs bar a whole slew of individuals from this industry.
Wow. Well, you had mentioned that some of the states that are serious about reentry have been making some efforts in this. And I was wondering what you thought about that sort of shift in understanding of reentry issues sort of nationally and locally. And you know, is that the trend that, different jurisdictions will be maybe making some legislative changes, or, you know, is there quite a bit more that still needs to be done?
Right. Well, I think the shift in thinking about the 630,000 men and women coming home from state and federal prison each year, a number that's sure to rise over the next 10 years, was evident when President Bush made a very deliberate reference to the problem in the 2004 State of the Union address. The host of reentry issues which have swept the country is a direct response to the residual effects of our failed tough-on-crime policies of the 80s and 90s. The issue of reentry is a bipartisan one, and I think people recognize it for what it is. It's a public safety issue. I mean, simply put, the two-thirds of people who go back to prison within 3 years of release are mostly unemployed. Barriers to employment are counterintuitive to reducing corrections costs and protecting society. Employment of people with criminal records, when done on an individualized basis, can be a win-win situation for everyone involved. And on the local level, because a number of states have found that their correction budget is bloated, sometimes surpassing money spent on education, they're much more willing to look at alternatives to incarceration and creative ways to reduce recidivism. States have begun to realize that through diverse partnerships with community-based organizations, community colleges, other government agencies, employers, and various other stakeholders, we can address some of the issues that lead to reincarceration. So while there are a number of catalysts that help to explain the sudden interest in reentry, the fact is that we're in the middle of a great opportunity to reshape criminal justice policy on the federal and state level as it relates to how we deal with 95% of people who will be coming home from prison someday.
Right.
And to answer the second part of your question about what more needs to be done,
yeah.
I think one look at our 50-state report card on our website at www.hirenetwork.org
mm-hmm.
or at www.lac.org shows that there's a lot more that needs to be done. For example, an arrest alone should never bar access to rights, necessities, and public benefits. Eligibility for employment should be based on the community's legitimate interest in public safety and the particulars of an individual's history and circumstances. Blanket bans of entire categories of people, such as everyone convicted of a felony, are neither wise nor fair. They don't take into account such important factors as the nature or the circumstances of conviction and what the person has done since the commission of the offense, including receiving education, awards, community service, acquiring skills, and any other types of recognition, in fact. So, yeah, we do have a long way to go.
Well, it's been a very informative discussion today that concludes our live talk, and thank you to Glenn Martin for joining us today to discuss this topic. Also, thank you to our audience for tuning in. And for more information about offender reentry, be sure to read this month's articles on the Corrections Connection at www.corrections.com. For CCNN, I'm Michelle Gasso.
You are listening to the Corrections Connection News Network, CCNN, your weekly news source for the corrections and criminal justice industry.